Welcome back to Straight Heat on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's your host, Patrick Creighton.
Joining us on the hotline right now, covering the Celtics, the CLNS, he is Jacob Toby. What's going on, Jacob?
What's going on, man? Thanks for having me on.
All right, so your C's are up 2-0. Are you surprised? Like, you know, before the series started, did you think they would definitely take both games at home in convincing fashion?
No. I am very surprised about the C's being up two games. I think, you know, the first thing I should say is that I picked Cleveland in six, and it's not turning out the way that I thought it would. But it's interesting because after game one, I thought, you know, LeBron's going to have this historic moment in game two. Some of the Cavs role players will step up. You know, Kevin Love will have a good game. Kyle Korver will, you know, come off the bench and score 20 points and hit, you know, 5 to 7 threes. And J.R. Smith might get hot and kind of take over the Celtics crowd in game two. And LeBron will go back home at least with one win in his pocket. And that just didn't happen. And for me, it was just weird to see that because you always expect LeBron to come back in that fashion and will his team. And, you know, he did, you know, he had a good game. The second half, he kind of fell flat and you know, it was kind of weird to see, but it's a weird feeling. I think a lot of Celtics fans didn't even expect this team to be up, you know, two games to none, but they've done it, and now they go on the road. It's going to be a tough challenge, I think, on the road, especially in game three.
So George Hill, J.R. Smith, and Larry Nance compared to outscore you and I by 3 points in game two. So, you know, you want, look, we played really well. We just barely. Oh, and Jose. I got to throw in Jose so we can have a triumvirate. We just barely played a little less, not quite as good as they did.
No. And I think, I mean, J.R. Smith especially, I mean, this guy has had the most interesting NBA career. You know, he was really good in Denver, and then in New York he was pretty good as well. But then, you know, in other places he's played at, he's just so inconsistent. And we've seen him, you know, sometimes carry the Cavs in the finals a couple years ago and have some really big moments and become maybe the Cavs' best defender. He has fallen off this year completely, especially in the playoffs. You go 0-for-7 from the field, 0-for-4 from three-point range, a -6 in the box score. So that's just not helping out LeBron James. And this guy needs help around him. He needs shooting, and J.R. Smith is supposed to be that guy, and he just didn't get it done, you know, along with the other guys you listed.
You know, Marcus Morris has played for like 27 of the 30 teams in the NBA. Yet here he is, the self-proclaimed LeBron stopper, and through two games, when he's covering LeBron, so far he's winning. How?
He is. You know, I'm not sure how. And you know, the stats don't lie. You know, he you know, coming into the season, I think, you know, one of the statistics out there was that, you know, he statistically was the best defender on LeBron James, and he even, you know, he admits Kawhi Leonard is, you know, the best, and I think the league would agree that Kawhi Leonard is the favorite in that category. But Morris is a guy that's been versatile all season long, coming off the bench, starting in games. You know, Brad Stevens will use him in any sort of situation possible. He's just a lengthy guy. He's athletic. He can cover multiple positions. Versatility is something that Danny Ainge has built this roster to be, and I was surprised at what he's brought this season. You know, and he actually, earlier on in the season, you know, kind of hinted at wanting to start for this team and be a starter in this league. And he for sure can be a starter in this league, but he's been a really good sixth man for the Celtics, especially when Marcus Smart went down with the hand injury. And now he's getting his chance. He's starting in Eastern Conference Finals. I mean, he has played so well, and he's been a big part of why the Celtics are up 2-0.
Jacob, when you take a look at how well the Celtics have played, kind of like as a unit, this is really like, you know, team concept versus superstar concept. And, you know, is after LeBron James gets a 42-point triple-double, I mean, is that kind of the way that it's like, all right, look, LeBron's going to get his points, but nobody else gets anything, and we win by double digits. Was that the plan coming in?
I mean, I think so because I think the Celtics anticipate that, you know, maybe some of these guys that were coming over in the trades at the trade deadline weren't going to be what Cleveland thought they would be. So let's let LeBron have his 42, 10, and 12, but let's eliminate some of the other guys. You know, you talk about Smith having 0 points, Larry Nance, 0 points, Calderon, 0 points. So, I mean, it goes on and on and on. Rodney Hood, he only had 2 points. So, I mean, it's crazy to think that what the Celtics are doing right now is holding these guys scoreless. But, yeah, let LeBron have his and kind of stop everyone else. With the Celtics' versatility, they can put so many different guys on so many of the other key parts of this Cleveland team, and they've stopped them. And it's really been interesting. And one thing I want to point out, too, is that they've stopped Tristan Thompson big time in this series. And he has been a guy that's given the Celtics a whole lot of trouble in previous games with double-digit rebounding games, especially when he was starting last year. So to me, that's been a big part of it as well. They out-rebounded the Cavs by one, and they won the game.
You know, Jacob, if they just put Chloe courtside, that's like the best way to stop Tristan Thompson.
You did not go there.
Whenever she's in town, he plays like turds. Hey, you know, it's one of those things. Just the numbers don't lie.
Of course, of course.
Talking with Jacob Toby, covers the Celtics, CLNS. Now, Jacob, as you go into Game 3, I mean, you see everything that they've gotten from Terry Rozier now through 2.5 rounds. Is at some point, does it become, all right, it's going to stop, the shoe is going to fall off, it's going to break, you know? Or is this, I mean, how does a guy like Terry Rozier, who's had a young career where he's been a complete non-factor for the first 2 years of his career, and now here he is on the biggest stage, and he's been one of their most important players?
For sure. I wouldn't necessarily go as far as him being a non-factor. I just don't think that he had the opportunity like this right now. I mean, he had to play behind guys like Marcus Smart even before, you know, this year especially. He had to play behind Isaiah Thomas, Avery Bradley. So it was a crowded backcourt here for a couple of years with the Celtics. He just didn't really get an opportunity, and he's always been a confident guy. Coming out of Louisville, he's known what his talents were as a 16th overall pick. Danny Ainge saw something in him. Not a lot of people did. Not a lot of people had him on the board at 16. And Danny Ainge saw that it factor. I think that Rozier brings that confidence, his swagger. He knows his game and he knows his role. He has had an outstanding playoff run. He's taken this Kyrie injury and just run with it. And it's been amazing to watch because, you know, he's 24 years old. He's young. He's athletic. And it's fun to watch him play because he's so energetic out there. And he makes everyone better as well. I mean, his scoring has gotten better each year. His shooting has gotten better each year. And he shot 40% in the regular season. He's up a little bit in the postseason. I mean, what more can you ask of this guy? He's been so good.
You know, you saw Isaiah Thomas, you just mentioned. Isaiah Thomas kind of take to social media. How does Brad Stevens not get a single vote as Coach of the Year? And I admit, I'm a little baffled on that one, how he didn't get even one vote, not even for like fifth place, nothing, you know? But that being said, it sure seems like Isaiah liked being in Boston and playing for Brad Stevens more than, well, pretty much anybody else he played with this year. If he were to be willing to come back on the cheapest of deals, would they bring him back?
Oh, man, that's a tough question. And, you know, why not? You know, we've seen a bunch of different things happen with Danny Ainge. We don't know what he's going to do. You know, he traded away Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett a couple years ago and just robbed the Brooklyn Nets. And we're seeing the repercussions of that now with, you know, the picks of Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. And so I would not be surprised at all if, you know, Isaiah Thomas kind of wound up back in Boston. You know, would he be a starter? I'm not sure. You know, would he be kind of what he is now at the Lakers and that sixth man coming off the bench scoring 20-plus like he was when he first got here? Remember, you know, I don't know if a lot of people remember that he was this team's sixth man when the Celtics got swept by the Cavaliers in 4 games a couple years ago in the first round. He was coming off the bench at that point. He wasn't really Isaiah Thomas, the all-star starter. I do think that Ainge may consider it, but at this point, you may want to put some money elsewhere. You know, you talked about it being a cheaper deal. You know, it depends on where the cap room is and all that stuff, but I would not be surprised at all if there was at least some interest there because we know how it ended. It was bad, you know, with Thomas's sister passing. He goes out and scores 52 versus Washington, and then, you know, they trade him away at the end of the season. It was tough for Celtics fans, and it was tough on Isaiah. So coming back here would be a neat story, I think, for a lot of people.
You know, Greg Monroe was once a really promising player in this league, and I know the C's got him on the dirty dirt cheap, but that dude can't get ahead of Aaron Baines for playing time. I mean, this. Now, I haven't gotten to watch him as much as you have this year. I mean, is he just completely falling apart?
Well, I'll say this. I'll say Aaron Baines is a champion under head coach Greg Popovich with the Spurs. So he knows how to win. He knows what his role is on his team. And Brad Stevens has been so clear about what Baines is. You know, he'll come off the bench. He'll start. You know, he started probably, I would say, the majority of the season. But in the playoffs, you know, you've seen him take a back seat because Morris needs to start to guard LeBron, yada, yada, yada. But with Monroe, I'll come out and say I was flat out wrong when they first signed him out of the buyout clause. I honestly went out on our air on CLNS and said that I thought he could be a starter because, you know, he's a guy that could average double digits in points and also rebound, you know, 8 to 10 per game, at least in his career before, you know, prior to the Celtics. That's what he had been doing. So I thought that he could crack the rotation that way. You know, be a nice plug up the middle. Defense, you know, he's not that great, but he you can put a body out there, and he's more known for his offense anyway. But I have been a little bit surprised. But then again, he's a veteran now in this league. He knows his role. He chose to come here, so he had to have, you know, had the discussion with Brad Stevens and Danny Ainge. You know, they might be saying, you know, we may not be using you as a starter or playing a lot of minutes. It depends on the matchups. And that's been Brad Stevens saying all season long, is it's going to depend on the matchups. They don't have, you know, a star-studded center to put in there. So, you know, to me, he's been decent, I would say, in the time he's got to play under, you know, Brad Stevens and the Celtics this postseason. But I have been a little bit surprised that he hasn't played a little bit more. But then again, Brad Stevens has done almost nothing wrong so far here in the playoffs.
Now, if Brad Stevens were to win a title with this team, does he get something close to like Belichickian respect because he did it without the two stars?
I mean, to go that far with Belichick, I mean, Belichick's done it over, you know, two decades, but Stevens has just taken this team and done so many different things with them. And, you know, he's only missed the playoffs once, and it was his first year here, and the roster was terrible. So you can't fault him for that, because that was when they gutted the team after the Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett trade. And after that, he's brought these Celtics teams, you know, to the playoffs, and he's now in back-to-back Eastern Conference Finals, which, you know, has been just amazing to see, and the players just gush about him. And Stevens is so humble because he's come out and said, you know, basically paraphrasing, you know, I don't know why they're saying that, like, you know, I still have things to work on, that type of thing. But he has done no wrong almost. In his years being here, you know, putting him against Belichick, he'll have to do a little bit more than win one title, I think. But he's done so well with what he has, and he gets the most out of players. You know, I'm not sure that he, you know, that other coaches around the league could get what he got out of Isaiah Thomas. I mean, it was a perfect system for him. Isaiah was the star. He was, you know, the ball movement was so crucial for him, but, you know, he was taking the last shots. And Brad Stevens drew up great plays for him, and he's drawn up great plays for everyone. So, you know, the fact that he didn't get the Coach of the Year vote, you know, by the coaches was crazy. But we'll see what the actual, you know, ballot comes out and where he stands.
Do the Celtics intend to put up a statue to Mikhail Prokhorov for that KG Paul Pierce deal that netted you a zillion picks?
Yes, they do. It'll be coming out, I think, in the summer. But no, but. I mean, that was highway robbery. I mean, and we just finally saw the end of the deal for the Kyrie Irving deal. That included the last Brooklyn Nets pick that the Celtics got. You know, now the Cavaliers have the 8th overall pick. It would have been the Celtics, but then they traded it in the Kyrie Irving deal. So the Cavs have the 8th pick this year in the draft. That's the final Nets pick that they got in that deal. And, you know, it had to be done, and I don't think a lot of Celtics fans at the time realized what was going on and why Ainge did it, but man, does he look like a genius? And he's by far the best GM in this league. He's the most consistent. He's done it for a long period of time, and you know, it's working out in his favor. You know, within the next couple of years, you know, they'll have a championship, in my opinion, and that's largely because of what he's put together.
All they got to do is put that thing right next to the Statue of Red, and they're golden. Jacob Toby covers the Celtics for CLNS. Follow him on Twitter at Jacob R. Toby. Great stuff, brother. Really enjoyed our conversation. Hopefully we will be talking again soon after the Celtics put LeBron James out of his misery.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate it.
All right.